Hey, good people. I'm back again, and thanks for joining me. Pam Booker, host of Where's Your Tree? A podcast series dedicated to liberating storytelling and conversations on green topics, social change, and sustainable living. On this episode, I explore how what we tend to dismiss as aggressive acts of Mother Nature and the animal species actually speaks more to our own fragile human fears and ego. And later in the show, in celebration of the autumnal season that's upon us, you'll hear about some of the unifying ingredients that brought together a Newark neighborhood for a harvest of locally grown foods shared in the backdrop of a community meal that fed over 100 folks. And it was all yummy. Savor that. We'll be back in just a moment. About 2 years ago, I relocated from an affluent, leafy suburban township here in North Jersey to Lincoln Park, Newark. While entrenched in suburbia, I launched a blog site that I called Greens for Squares. It was dedicated to documenting my journey into the world of square foot gardening and my enthusiasm for growing my own foods in backyard garden boxes. Often I'd report on the gangsta nature of nature, along with battling smug feral cats who'd set up kitty maker cribs in my garage, daring me to move them. Critters with attitudes is what I called them. This is North Jersey, mind you, not anywhere as exotic as, Vermont, but with an equally defining sense of a natural order to things. I recall one night when a possum came strolling across the driveway, just as we were pulling up in the car. It turned and momentarily looked our way, those bright, dead eyes, possum eyes, calling us out with something I imagined asking, "So, how you like me now, scared people?" We locked the doors quickly, pressed the window shut, and sat immobilized in the car's stifling, humid interiors, watching that creature stroll over to the garage. Now, I think he was looking for the damn cat who needed to be handled by somebody, all the better, someone from the animal species, since it only hissed and pissed at me whenever attempts were made to relocate its loitering disposition. Now, I was never sure if this was a friendly cross-species visit or if the cat was simply overdue a good talking down, if you catch my drift. Well, as it happens, the possum didn't seem to find what or who it was looking for, and soon enough, the possum glided past us again, one of four sizable paws and claws click, clicking, click, clicking and pressing forward across the brick wall that bordered the property. At least that's what I imagined it sounding like if my car window hadn't been hermetically sealed. It then disappeared into the shadows behind the recyclables. Oh, and then there were the aggressive groundhogs who gnawed away at my eggplants, string beans, and pretty much wrecked my garden beds with regularity. But I have to say, I always look forward to seeing families of deer frolicking down the street late mornings, early afternoons, alternately posing on lawns, nibbling at berries and bushes, or simply pausing here or there curbside, pondering who was home and whether to ring a doorbell and ask for a beer with a friendly overture, "Hey, neighbor, what's up?" Critters with attitudes, yep. These were my very real and fantastical encounters with the natural world that, while sometimes perplexing and frustrating, for city-raised dwellers especially, are always revelatory, and more about my species than the ones I'd encroached on. These recollections mostly make me chuckle and shake my head, reminders that Mother Nature's rules, well, they roll, despite our human propensity to ignore her signs and the inclination for some of us to dismiss her primacy. and our need to recklessly consume land, space, air, water, food. This is especially true as our urban and even rural land use speaks to our clear inability, or is it an unwillingness, to respect and honor nature's provisional earthly boundaries, as we find ourselves gravitating farther into the ecohabitats of tigers and deer and possum. Oh my. The planet is no longer having it, people. Nor are they having our indifference when it comes to what was always planned for cohabitation. Roommates with perks and responsibilities like clean up after yourself was always the house rule. Yet, we have arrived at the end of a long, great book that now requires us to question how and if we will write ourselves forward, and with that, how to define our moral imagination within its chapters, whether in correcting the treatment of animals, trees, plants, and children, and each other, for that matter. We live in an astounding time of outrage and calls to moral and ethical action, with rousing appeals to end the devastating consequences of climate change and increased environmental abuses that poison and diminish the quality of life for all species. And our young people from among intersectional communities around the world will continue to gather in cities, in small towns and villages to denounce our recklessness. And I applaud them. Many of us heard the rallying cry of Greta Thunberg, the Swedish teen who fiercely and fearlessly called on the U.S. and other world players on their and even our collective blatant neglect or concern for the ecosystems and energy resources that, at this continued pace of reduction, will not survive future generations. Greta's rallying cry, "How dare you?" left everyone snapping fingers, posting funny memes, which portrayed a sweet Pippi Longstocking who's fed up and not having it anymore. Yet, despite her known and obvious privilege to be able to galvanize global media coverage and roll her eyes at greedy, inept world leaders, ours among them, we celebrate her confident in-your-face accountability directed at corporate businesses and politicians who continue to lie and shimmy their way toward vast financial windfalls that stem from stripping, eroding, tapping, eliminating, twerking policies and protections for our most sacred natural resources and habitats. For Greta, there's even talk of a Nobel Peace Prize. All of which is a worthy celebration that remains to be seen. But nevertheless, giving space to the devastating impact that climate change has in both rural and especially our urban environments, where Black and Brown folks contend with lead-based pipes and compromised water systems, such as in my very own backyard here in Newark, for example, whose local leaders have been acting a bit more transparently than many, to correct environmental threats. That said, unhealthy levels of carbon in the air and toxic landfills that abut most crowded city borders are at critical levels. Yet socially and economically driven assaults in the design of guns, police violence, drugs, and poverty are vital to the discussion as well, along with the urgency that drives climate change, since different settings produce distinct hazards that must be uniquely addressed and resolved. Through it all, it's our young people, locally and internationally, who are stepping up to insist that we, as the custodians of aging Western nations and societies, do right by them and by our planet. Their articulate passion, their fears and anger are real. These rising movements, comprised of intersecting communities and demographics, also speaks to an undeniable courage that folks who are committed to doing this work must possess. And the heavy weight of lifting up our abused mother and shifting all patterns that undermine her evolutionary beauty. In the collection Moral Ground, Ethical Action for a Planet in Peril, it reads, "Above all, we must listen to Earth, which resounds with a wisdom we can hear if we try. Wisdom born of the longest reaches of time and space, red leaves falling from oak trees, soft rain, children coming home at dusk."
Craig and Al Tariq, the aides in Councilmember McCollum's office, they're going around registering people for these lead mines. Water's out here also being provided. I want to thank Mayor Raz Baraka for always making sure that we move this city forward. Thank you very much to this whole entire city. Thank you to Pine Grove Terrace.
With the arrival of the autumnal equinox, aligned with the harvests that occur this time of year, a community of neighbors on a street called Pine Grove Terrace in the Vailsburg section of Newark gathered together for a community meal. Launched from the designs of local eco-leaders and community residents, the idea was to bring together folks to share a meal with foods donated by local growers and offered for free to everyone who showed up. Imagine a block party, but with about 100 guests, including children, the local fire department, city sustainability staffs and organizers and neighbors and strangers who shared a meal of eggplant, squash, corn on the cob, leafy greens, and donations of chicken and rice. The challenge for the event was to have zero waste or as close to it as possible, which meant that people were asked to bring their own cutlery, plates, and water bottles. Many did. Utensils and plates were also available to those who needed them. Listen up.
Needs a fork.
I need a fork.
Okay, I got it.
Do you have a cup?
I got to find that. I got to get.
Thank you.
She needs it.
Thank you, darling.
You're welcome. Okay. How many cups? Just one?
Bring me one, two, baby. Three. It's three.
Uh-oh. It's my husband's cup.
That you're now sharing.
Because he's walking around. He's walking around taking pictures. I'm a drinker.
It was a beautiful day, forged of laughter and joy, as part of a beautiful experiment in a small Newark cul-de-sac, an urban setting dotted with abandoned homes and charming ones, hard-working residents and families, alongside shady characters, as one neighbor quipped, that for a gorgeous Saturday afternoon was transformed into an oasis that radiated of back-in-the-day family barbecues where elders and their grands line dance, kids drew on colored chalk curbside, and everyone offered kind gestures to one another of civility, of unity, and affection. But the beauty about that day, as I recall it, is that it wasn't some lost, nostalgic era. It was about now, today, this daunting millennia, the present moment. In all of its uneasiness and inconsistency, in partnership with the expectation that we will live long and prosper, to quote a very famous Vulcan. The power of this gathering was in reflecting back at this community its ability for a healthy, cohesive future, where Black and brown families don't simply or even complexly survive, but actually change the climate within the aims of their own moral imaginings. And that we got to nosh on deliciously restorative food sustained everyone with a deeply satiating gratitude. I surely was thankful. I'm Pam Booker. Thanks again for joining me for another episode of Where's Your Tree? You can always find me at the website or on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or drop a line to pamela@wheresyourtree.com. Please subscribe, say hey, and share the podcast with friends. Until the next time, be still, stand in love. Pay attention. Ciao.